This is the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Robbie Kirkland, chairman, Texas Cattle Feeders Association, but more importantly, with Kirkland Feed Yard, Vega, Texas. He talks about being a family-owned feed yard and reopening the border to Mexican feeders. All ahead. First off, succession plans and Ag, University of Nebraska-Lincoln's Jessica Grosskopf.
We believe that between 50 and 60% of farm and ranch families do not have a solid succession plan in place. And so, again, that's a little bit different than an estate plan. A succession plan says that we've identified that heir and we're actually passing the business to someone else, where an estate plan is simply those end of life documents. So when it comes to that succession side, there's a very high percentage that have not identified who that heir, related or not related, will be.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today we're joined by Robbie Kirkland. Robbie is with Kirkland Feed Yard in Vega, Texas, is also chairman, Texas Cattle Feeders Association, and in San Diego today. So what's happening in San Diego?
Yeah, thanks, Tony. Good to see you. Yeah, this week we're at the NCBA summer meetings. It's a joint meeting with all the NCBA and then all the affiliates, as well as the CBB and the Federation of Beef Councils. So joint meeting here. This is where kind of a lot of the business is done. The committee meetings are met and do a lot of policy work, as well as then the board of directors will meet on Wednesday and finish things up.
Now, I'm sure there are plenty of topics of discussion, but what would be like two or three of the top policy discussions that are coming up right now, or areas of concern that the industry is talking about?
Well, of course, so just set in on the live cattle marketing committee just a little bit ago, and of course, two of the topics, you know, one is was talking about CME, and you know, they've changed some price limits and some daily move limits. So that's something that's been, you know, discussed a little bit. They're having a roundtable visiting session this evening at 5. So we'll go to that as well. And then also in that committee, we were talking a little bit about talked quite a bit about feeder cattle supplies and the you know, was closing of the ports of the Mexican-American ports, and then the soft reopening that is occurring now, thanks to Secretary Rollins.
Now, that border with Mexico closed because of New World screwworm being found in Mexico. Up to this point, we've been able to keep that really south of the border, not just south of the U.S. border, but south of the Mexican border. But it's penetrated now into Mexico. There are concerns about it getting into the U.S. There are some that are concerned about the reopening of this market. Important to note, though, the first one is Douglas, Arizona. So let me back up just a moment and not get too far out over the skis here. How do we utilize, how does the U.S. industry utilize feeder cattle from Mexico?
So, Tony, I mean, roughly there's, you know, say a million, maybe 1.2 million head normally that would be imported into the U.S. Those cattle are used by, you know, farmers, backgrounders, and then feedlots. So all different sectors of the beef chain. So those cattle will come across, and then, like I said, a lot of them will be fed, you know, particularly in our region. I mean, the Texas cattle feeder region, Texas, Oklahoma, New Mexico, and then probably some up into maybe southern part of Kansas. But, you know, the majority of them would be fed in our region. And so those cattle would come in. A lot of them will get will be put on pasture. Could be on wheat pasture. Could be summer grass pasture. And then, like I said, would go on into the feedlot sector. And that's kind of how they're used.
And this isn't, if I understand correctly, is not breeding stock. This is, you're talking about steers that are coming in, or, you know, heifers as well. But
yes.
Is that an important piece to this, that really what's coming in is, there are pretty tight regulations on that?
Oh, absolutely. So from the standpoint of cattle that transfer, and this has been from, you know, years and years, no breeding stock comes across. So heifers have to be spayed, for the most part, steers, of course, castrated. So, no breeding stock comes across, at this point. As far as the regulations and that go along with the screw worms, so those cattle are, they're inspected at area in Mexico and areas that they congregate those cattle, then they're given a shot of ivermectin at that point. And then within 5 to 7 days, those cattle can transfer to the border, and then they're inspected by Senaseca, which is the USDA equivalent in Mexico. Then they move to the USDA inspection pens, and they're inspected by USDA at that point. Then the cattle are dipped and dried and then crossed. And so, you know, what we've said, and we've supported Secretary Brooke Rollins in the science-based efforts that we've looked at, and like, these cattle are the safest cattle that are coming, that could come across, because they've gone through all these protocols to ensure safety from the New World screw worm.
We're talking with Robbie Kirkland, Kirkland Feed Yard in Vega, Texas, and this is the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This is the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest, Robbie Kirkland with Kirkland Feed Yard in Vega, Texas. The fact that it has your name on it must mean it's a family feed yard.
Correct, Tony. So my dad, Perry, he started the feed yard in the mid-80s, and he's still active in the feed yard and farming operation, as well as myself. And then third generation, my son Carson, he's back with us now. So you're exactly right. You hit the nail on the head. It's a family operation. We've been there since, like I said, the mid early 80s. Started, you know, running cattle on wheat pasture and grazing lands in Oldham County. My grandparents back in the, you know, in the 50s. So our family's been there, integrated, and like you said, we're just a deep part of the beef industry right there in Oldham County.
Now, the fact that you represent Texas cattle feeders as well, you obviously are aware of, or probably know, nearly all of the feeders across the region. And I'm talking about not just Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, Kansas, that entire area. You're not the only family feeder, are you?
No. And there's a lot of family feeders, smaller, you know, what we would kind of call independent, smaller family operations, and they range from, you know, from, you know, like I said, Texas, South Texas, all the way up throughout kind of feeding country all the way, you know, into Iowa. So there's, there's a lot of family operations out there today that whether that's, you know, like I said, a lot of them have grazing operations that like ours, that where we have wheat pasture and summer grazing that go along with our feed yard. But we just do what we can to make things go.
Well, and you and I have had the opportunity to talk about beef on dairy cross and the importance that has brought to the industry, not just to the feeders, but to the overall beef industry, if you will. With the reopening of this Mexican border, will that be beneficial for feeders as well?
Well, I think the one thing we need to you know, kind of preface, you know, this part of the discussion is that the United States is at a 70, maybe 73-year low in cattle numbers. So our cattle numbers are the lowest they've been in 70-something years. So we're low on feeder numbers. That's just, you know, part of the situation. The beef on dairy cattle have come in and the dairy industry and along with the beef side of it is doing a really good job of producing a really good animal for us to continue to keep the beef supply moving. So then you go and you take a million head roughly out of the supply for, you know, shutting off the ports in between Mexico and the U.S. So that's put a really strain on the numbers in the, you know, in the feedlots, on our grass, on our wheat pasture, because of just, you know, just sheer numbers. So that's made a huge impact. And so in our region, we would say that there would be around 15% of the cattle on feed or in our possession would be cattle historically from Mexico.
We're talking with Robbie Kirkland, Kirkland Feed Yard in Vega, Texas. Robbie is also the chairman of the Texas Cattle Feeders Association. We'll continue the conversation as the Agribusiness Report continues.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Our guest today is Robbie Kirkland, Kirkland Feed Yard, Vega, Texas, Chairman, Texas Cattle Feeders Association. Where can we learn more?
Yeah, I think Cattle Raisers has a good website. And then for Texas Cattle Feeders, we also have a good website. I believe it is tcfa.org. And so you can you could go look us up there and keep informed of what's going on, as well as different social media sites that we continue to use as well, just to keep people informed of what's going on, you know, and what's happening within our industry. So that's what I'd say.
And I didn't even introduce you as a new grandpa, but I know you are. Congratulations on that. Robbie Kirkland is with Kirkland Feed Yard in Vega, Texas. He's chairman of the Texas Cattle Feeders Association, TCFA.org. I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Creative succession plans. Jessica Grosskopf, University of Nebraska, Lincoln.
So again, I think we have to redefine success of the operation and what your legacy truly is. For a lot of farm and ranch families, maybe it's conservation or maybe it's innovation, whatever that might be, and realizing that we can look to alternatives to carry on that legacy. So maybe there's a young person within your community who is looking for that opportunity to farm or to ranch. Maybe it's working with a conservation program like Pheasants Forever or, you know, the crane associations that are out there to help continue that idea of conservation moving forward. There's lots of options and lots of opportunities, but you as that owner have to come to that realization of what is my true legacy and how do I carry that on even though I don't have a family member coming back.